So we left off yesterday, trying to find to what exactly is a kinyan devarim, what's not a kinyan devarim. So we had a little bit of a contradiction because our Gemara of Masa tells us that anytime you do a kinyan chalipin, you can't identify a chefza. It's not a piece of land, not an animal, not a car. So that smacks of a kinyan devarim. And that's the reason why if you simply make a kinyan chalipin, that we hereby are machmir to each other the fact that we're going to split up this land, doesn't mean anything. You just made a kinyan on a maisa, that's irrelevant. On the other hand, Tosfos pointed out, and you get a fit back of Tzuvos, that clearly there is a concept of a person being mishabed themselves, obligating themselves to pay money in the future, such as the case of the Ksuba, the Chosim doesn't have any money, doesn't have any Nechosim, but he's obligating himself that in the future he will be chayav to pay. Or in the case of the Shoel, the person who wasn't really a Shoel, he's really only a Shomachinim, he's a Shomachar, but he obligates himself to the higher level of obligation. The Gemara says explicitly in the seventh part, he can do that. Why isn't that also just a kinyan devarim? I'm going to pay. What's the difference between I'm going to pay and I'm going to split up property? That was a question that was really posed to Rabbeinu Eliyahu by the Ri. Let's go back to the Tosfos now in the fifth of the Rav Kamos. So it's the sixth of the Rav Kamos. It's three lines from the bottom. The Ein Zeh Kinyan Devar Miyam. This idea of obligating yourself to do something is not a Kinyan Devar. The Kinyan Devar Lohavi Elak Yahid Reish Mevavasra. The paradigm of kinyan devarim is our sugya. Shekonu miyadam lachlo chotze she'en badin chalukah. We made a kinyan to do an action. That's a kinyan devarim. Avam mashi b'shabed gufo l'schayv l'davazeh b'shtabed. V'enze kinyan devarim yalma. Says the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, there's a concept called the shibud haguf. Now this goes to the ABCs of shibudim. We spoke about this in the past. When I borrow $100 from you, two things happen. So first of all, my karka becomes meshubat to pay off this chov. And number two, my body becomes meshubat. You have a chiv against me, you have a lien against me, you have a claim against me. This is not to say that you're kinyan to split up land. When I make a kinyan to do an action, that's called kinyan devarim. When I make a kinyan to make a shibud is a haknah. So the chiddush of Rabbeinu Eliyahu was, not only is shibud nechasim considered to be a haknah, but the very institution of a debt, a debt is a chefza, like Reb Chaim used to say, which a chefza for the chav. It's not a concrete chav, it's an abstract chav. But an abstract chav is considered to be a dovah shal chefza shal mamon, and that chefza shal mamon is nitan to kinyan devarim. So kinyan devarim doesn't mean that in order to avoid kinyan devarim, I don't have to be able to point to an animal. I don't have to be able to point to a piece of land. I don't have to be able to point to a car. I don't need that. But I have to have some kind of an entity, some kind of a halachi entity. And by the Vasad of Gimel, there is no halachi entity. There's simply a promise to do an action. That's a kinyan devarim. But there's a halachi entity called a shibud, or being a shibud aguf, that's not considered to be a shibud devarim. That was the answer of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So the bottom line is that there were two potential problems, two potential violations of kinyan devarim. One was the Gemara in Bava Metzia. How can the Shomer Chinam make believe he's going to be a Shoel? Isn't that a kinyan devarim? Number two, the Mishnah in Ksuba is, how could the Chosser, who doesn't have any property, be Mishabed himself to the service Ksuba? And to both of these problems was solved by simply calling it a Shibud, and a Shibud is not considered to be a mere kinyan devarim. However, one takes a look at the Rush on the seventh of the Rambam Kamos. The Rush also quotes this discussion that took place between the Re and Rabbeinu Eliyahu, but he just quotes the discussion a little bit of a different way. The Rosh read 100 years later, there are two different nuances, two different presentations of what exactly the give and take between the reader and Rabbeinu Eliyahu exactly precisely was. So take a look at the seventh of the Barba Kavos. So he starts out almost identical to the way Tosfos presents it. We're going to pick it up from the top of the next page. The top of the seventh, the top of the next page, middle of the line. Aval zeh she'ein lo nechosim, he's asking the question about the fellow who's standing under the chuppah doesn't have any property. V'gam ein mishabed atzma l'chov zeh she'yischayev miyad. It's a whole other fact. I didn't see that in the Tosfos. Says the Rush, the reason why we're bothered with the kinyan devarim in Ksubas, Because not only does this chassid not have any not have any property, he's not even obligating himself immediately. A ksuba doesn't kick in immediately. When does a ksuba kick in? He says the chiyuv of a ksuba only starts 80 years down the line, if and when he dies, if and when he divorces. Or that's when the chiyuv of ksuba kicks in. So you get the impression from the Rosh's addition of that factor that you want to be meshabed yourself to something? Gang is a day. That's not a kid in the barim. You want to be meshabed yourself to something which is not even minchal now. It's a shibud that's meaningless right now. It's a shibud that's omen in the air to take effect in 50 years from now. That was the kash of the re against Rabbi Eliyahu. So it's a different question. The way Tosus presents the question, a shibud was considered to be a kid in the barim in the eyes of the re, and he wanted proof for Rabbi Eliyahu that it's not. Rabbi Eliyahu brought him a proof for the sugi about a shemachina, make him believe he's a shoel. According to the Rosh, that wasn't even the kasha. The kasha was, if and when you mishabed yourself, that's great. But if you mishabed yourself, but there is no shibud, because nothing's happening now, ein lecha kinyan dvarim galu mizeh.
According to the Rosh, when the chassan is mishabed himself, that's good, that's a kinyan dvarim, that would be good?
According to, the problem is, when the chassan is mishabed himself, it's not a shibud now. Because the shibud on the ksuba, on the promise of the ksuba, only kicks in after he divorces her after he dies. So that was the problem that the Rosh was asking. So now, what's the answer? What was Rabbi Eliyahu's answer? So let's take a look now to the end of the third line. V'heshiv, Rabbi Eliyahu responded back, the matzino kinyin zeh b'perk ha-serch ha-sapolim, ma'as t'shulachim l'hizke sho'el, u'parach b'mayim v'shadik ha-sho'el b'yado, u'mash b'da'ay b'chol lidyon, afilu en ha-chazim ha-achshav, here's the punchline, v'gam eno chayev lo klum, at she'yavu ha-ones, ומשבת עצמו לחשי ישחייב. Says Rabbi Eliyahu, if the question was, wait a second, it's a kid in Dvar because nothing's happening yet, so Rabbi Eliyahu has to bring a proof from a parallel case where nothing's happening yet, and it's still the kid in Ischal. What's the parallel case where nothing's happening yet? A shoel. When does a shoel become chayev? Very long, the Shishayla. I lend you something, and now, a week later, the item gets hit by lightning. So the shoel's chayev. Shoel's chayev even on onsen. Along with your question, at what point is he chayev and onsen? Is he chayev and onsen mishas she'ela? Or is he chayev and onsen mishas onsen from the time that the onus happens? So comes Rabbi Eliyahu and says, everybody knows he's chayev and onsen mishas onsen. He's not chayev now for the moment of she'ela. The damage didn't happen yet. The car's still here. Nothing happened. When the car gets hit and destroyed by lightning, then the chiyuv kicks in. Says Rabbi Eliyahu, according to the Rosh's version, this is the perfect replica of the ksuba. The chassan standing under the chuppah, and he's doing a kiri chalipin, obligating himself for $100,000, not from now, to be payable after he dies and divorces her. So the Re was asking Rabbi Eliyahu, wait a second, that's a kid in the barn. Nothing's happening now. That's in the future. That's just a... just a parach v'aber, that's nothing right now. So Rabbi Eliyahu responded back to the Rosh, no. We have a precedent for this, that just as a shel mechinim can become a shoel, even though nothing's happening now. There's no chiv now. There's no shibud now. There's nothing now. Everything is hinging upon a later date, and even that's not called the kid in Devarim. Therefore, we can extrapolate back to the case of the ksuba as well. So it's a nuance of difference as to what the question was. The maskana, it works. The maskana, Rabbi Eliyahu definitely told the Re that it's going to work. The ksuba case will work. The shoel case will work. What's the difference of nuance between the way Tosus presents the question and the way the Rosh presents the question, was this factor of it not taking effect now really critical or not? Now, this is a loaded question because the Rabbi Eliyahu was assuming in his answer that a shoel is not really chayev now. A shoel only becomes chayev after the onus happens. That's a very, very complicated question. Beyond that discussion right now, that seems to be machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes in the Rishonim. When is the real moment of truth for a shoel? So Rabbi Eliyahu is bringing shoel as a model. He better be assuming that the moment of truth is later. If he would be assuming that the moment of truth, the chiyuv actually kicks in lemafreya from the time of the she'ela, so that would be a whole different ballgame. That would be very, very difficult to bring a riot to ksuba. So the bottom line is, we had some kind of a question Rabbi Eliyahu was presented by the Re. We definitely have an answer, and we definitely know that ksuba and shoel are not bound by the rules of kinyan dvarim. That we know for our purposes. But Rabbi Yisai, notwithstanding whatever Rabbi Eliyahu responded back to the Re, Tosus is not convinced that this is the only answer to the question. And Tosus suggests that maybe, there's a different approach to what's going on under the chuppah. So here you have this chassid who doesn't have a penny to his name, and he's obligating himself to $100,000. How does that work? So comes Tosus in the eighth of the Rambam Kabbalas.
Change around the Russian from he's obligating himself to he's being obligated. It's almost like a transaction. Something happens, and the Torah Machayev or the Rabbanan Machayev him at that point in time, that's what's going to happen. But if it doesn't happen, he's not.
No, but the Torah didn't obligate him to give the extra $100,000. The Torah or the Rabbanan, depending on what you think, super derisive, the Rabbanan only obligated him at 200 zuz maximum. He decides to be a nice guy and add on more. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But the bottom line is he's the one who opened up his mouth and he told his Kala, I want to give you another $100,000. It's very nice of him, but how does it, what makes it binding? That's the problem. So we can attach it, we can call it Padiksu, we call it for it till tomorrow, but it doesn't get off the ground. The Chiyuv doesn't get off the ground. That's the problem. That's it's a mere kid in Devarim unless you go up with some kind of an eight or white snap.
But one can attach yourself to the fee of the rice that is good to understand. Once you have the fee that he's obligated to give X, it attaches itself to that.
But how does
the
that?
Only time it might be would be he knew he would never be able to make that in his lifetime. He made it and it was like,
no, but what's the mechanism in halacha that connects it? How does it become chayav? You're right. The din is once this chiyuv kicks in after Tosefes Ksuba, then the Gemara says the fifth writing Ksuba is tonight Ksum Kiksuba. Then it takes on a lot of the details of Bechus Ksuba. It's collected with the Ksuba, it has some of the nuances of Bechus Ksuba. But we're trying to get it to that point. How did we get attached in the first place? How did we get into being a chiyuv in the first place? Isn't it a kid in the Devarim? So that was the Reis problems, which Rabbeinu Eliyahu responded, no, it's not a kid in the Devarim. But now Tosus has a whole different approach. And the eighth of the Rambam calls V'yesh Mefarshim. Tosus quotes a fascinating answer. They don't identify who it was. V'yesh Mefarshim, the Kaver, the Kosei Stama, Shiyu Kol Nechasim Achrayim. What does the Chasim write in the Ksuba? The next time we go to a wedding, you got to pay attention. The Chasim writes, all my property should be responsible. I'm hereby accepting the Shibud Nechasim. Now there's a small technical problem. He doesn't own any property. Says Tosus, so what? He just told us he owns property. So if he told us he owns property, Lamalon is chayev. Rehod the sheish lo nechosim. He said he owns property. So according to his word, he owns property. A shibud was just chal. Afal pish anu yodim she'en lo. We know that he's lying. We know it's not true. Testosus hodas baldin kime edim dami. There's a principle in Dinei Mamonos that if you're a party to a case, and you make some incriminating statement against you in Dinei Mamonos, you're going to be held to those words. Let's say, the Marshal, I walk at the basin and I say, I borrowed $1,000 from Reuven. And everybody there is laughing. Everybody said, we know you don't know who Reuven is. We know you never borrowed $1,000. The whole thing's a joke. Nope. I claim I owe $1,000 to Reuven. And then a week later, Reuven takes me to a dinner. Can I please get the $1,000 back? And I say, me? I don't know you, Penny. Come on, guys. You know I was just kidding. The halacha is I'm chayav to pay. And Beis is going to force me to pay. Why? Hodas baldin kemeya eidim dami. The statement of a baldin takes on the status like 1,000 eidim, like 100 eidim, like 1,000 eidim. And even if the Beis knows that I'm lying, it doesn't matter. I'm believed more than all the eidim in the world. That's a sugya called hodas baldin kemeya eidim dami. The Gemara has this principle hundreds of times in Shas. What the Gemara never tells us is what the source of this din is. Where did it come from? Where did this thing come from? The Gemara says it time and time again. Odos baldin kemeidim dami. What's the mokor? So the Ketzos said he has to find the source. He's got to find it. And he starts looking high and low all throughout Shas. And he says he discovered a Rashi. Rashi himself's Kedushin. The third parak actually tells you what the mokor is. The mokor is a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, if I take you to a Din Torah and I say, you owe me $100, and you respond, no, I only owe you 50. What happens? The Torah says, I share your mark, Yehuzeh, Ad Olim Yavod Vashneim. That's the parasha, the sugya of Meidim Mitzvahs. So the Torah Shemapeh explains to us what those Psuchim Mishpatim mean, I share your mark, Yehuzeh, I say you owe me 100, you respond that you only owe me 50. Two things happen. First of all, you have to pay the 50. And number two, you have to take a shvua that you don't owe the rest. That's shvua sveidim mix. That's a shvua deraisa. Says Rashi on the spot, Why do you have to pay the 50 for? Based on what? The Torah says, Asher Yomak Yuzeh, why do you have to pay the 50? The answer is, because you said you owe the 50. That's the mocha for Bani Mises. So in the, that's the mocha for those Baal Din Kibayim Dami. So usually we think that this pasuk, Asher Yomak Yuzeh, is the source for the Shavua part. That's true. But it's a dual source. It's the source for the Shavua part on the 50 that you're denying, and it's a source for the payment on the 50 that you're agreeing to. And even if an hour later you change your mind, say, no, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it. You were kidding? You just gave it Eidus and Beis. What do you mean you were kidding? That's a joke. You gave it Eidus and Beis and the game's over. So there's a din in a Torah, al dos ba din kveidim dami. I think we, how does the phrase go? I need help from the lawyers. When a guy gets arrested, I say, any statement that you make may be held against you in a court of law, like that. No, give or take. So that's not your field of law, okay? any statement that may, you may be held against you. That's exactly what it says. You make a statement in the Mamunus, it's going to cost you. If you, I think they, it's like they, I think it says, you know, they tell you the protocol. If you get into an accident with somebody, don't say I'm sorry to the person. So say I didn't see that. Don't say a word. Anything you say can be held against you. So Hadas Baldin can be Adam Dummy. So comes the, we're not advocating lying. We just say just keep your mouth shut until the proper time. So comes the Yesh Mefarshim and say when this fellow says. This 18-year-old little kid under the chuppah says, I'm hereby obligating myself to $100,000 and I have thousands and thousands of dollars of property. I got land in China, I got land in Nebraska, I got land in Paris, I got land all over in Meich, but a real, the guy just graduated high school, Koshi. So I'm telling you, I spent a whole dollar spot in that I own thousands of dollars worth of property. Good. So says Tosh is good. Why not?
Is there a difference between obligating yourself to pay something and making a false statement? He doesn't own any property.
That's right. The whole dos ba din kimeid.
But
we
would be saying, I owe you money.
So he's making
that he has land that doesn't.
That's right. That's what dos ba din. The statement is that he owns land that we accept from him at face value. Anything that's going to now cost him money based on that statement is going to be accepted and based on. His shibud is going to be based on that quote unquote false statement. But Bezdin doesn't have to worry about whether it's false or not. Bezdin has to worry, is there an Eidus that this guy, let's say two Eidim would walk in and say that this little 18-year-old kid has land somewhere. So we'd say, okay, great. Eidim told us, Abishnai made him Yochum Dover. He has land. Now he can be Mishabir himself. So we don't have two Eidim. We have a Dos Bodeh, which is better than two Eidim.
Doesn't this show us that words mean something?
Words mean something, not in terms of, I can't create a Chiyav with the words, but I do have Nemonis to say something, right? We definitely have Nemonis.
I created the Chiyav and I say I owe you $1,000.
No, but that's okay. I can create that chiyuv as long as I have land. If remember, back to Rabbeinu, the Re's original question. If you have land, then I'm being mocked that you were shibud nechasim. Shibud nechasim is not called a kid in Devarim. The only problem that the Re had was if there's no nechasim, then it's just a shibud aguf. Isn't the shibud aguf a kid in Devarim? That was the question that was posed to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, to which Rabbeinu Eliyahu responded, no, it's not. It's a shibud, and a shibud is not called a kid in Devarim.
But he doesn't have nechasim.
He does.
He says he does.
Right? He says he does.
He doesn't.
Why should we confuse the facts with the case? The Lefi Din HaTorah, we have a right to continue this case, assuming that he has land. Because Adam told us that he has land. We don't have to, it doesn't matter. That's irrelevant.
Can't the words, let's build a wall, be binding?
But based on what?
I have land. The land is backing the wall.
No. That's a kid in Devar because it's just an action. I'm not mishabed my nechosim to the building of a wall. It's not even building a wall, it's just dividing up the chatzar. That was the original question. We're hereby obligating ourselves to divide a chatzar. My nechosim are backing up my word to divide a chatzar. There's no connection between the nechosim and the dividing of the chatzar. You're right, to build a wall would be correct. That's what Tosha said in the sugya. If they agreed to build a wall, then the nechosim would back up that. That's a chiyav mamonis. But the action of building a wall is not nothing to do with mamonis. How does the chasim help me to build a wall, to help me to divide up a chatzah? So only when it comes to putting something into dollars and cents, I'm hereby obligating myself to pay $1,000 backed up by the chasim that lefi dvari exists, even though lefi midas emes we know don't really exist. That's the chiddush of Hadas Baal Din. That's what the Yesh Mefarshim said.
Once it's found out that's not true, like everything else,
it
should uproot the
materials
of the thing.
He says that he owns it. We don't have to ask any more questions.
The person says X and he gets married and finds that he lied. You can move out the Kedushin. Everything could be uprooted in a halacha if you find out there was a shek there.
No, but this we have edus to this effect. We have edim. We have 100 edim who said that this person owns land. So what do you mean you found out that he doesn't own land? So, what do those words mean?
No, the person comes into a marriage. He had edim that he's F, Y, Z. He or she is F, Y, Z. Find out it was sheker. They cannot prove the marriage.
But what do you mean we find out a sheker here? Well, what do those words mean? We find out a sheker. We have 100 edim will tell us that he doesn't own land. Means we don't know that he owns land. So we don't think he owns land. It doesn't look like this guy owns land. But the Adam, i.e. himself, just told us that he does own land. So that's the parashah of those both did. So let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos gives you another example of this. Back to the 8th Ramah comes. Shekosu bar shos, b'kneisilo arba amas karka b'chatzeri, afim b'shem yodim she'lo karka. Came to know the she'esh al dos l'kmei adim. Ramah says it was a practice in Europe that the Gemara, it's based on the Gemara in the end of Masechet Bava Kama. Let's say I have a dintar against somebody. I have a dintar against Reuben. Reuben owes me $1,000. I'm not interested in going to travel to go collect the money from Reuben. In the Middle Ages, not so easy to travel. And so I know that somebody else is going to Reuben's town anyway for some other business. So I asked my friend Shimon, do me a favor. When you go to Reuben's town, go take Reuben to a dintar on my behalf. So Shimon walks into Beis Din. He says, I'm here by representing my client, Reuven, whatever I'm taking, my lady, what my name is. I'm coming to take Reuven to a dinner. Reuven takes a look at Shimon and says, I don't know who you are. La Baldvar Mzidiyah. He said, who are you? What do you mean you're representing? I owe the other guy in town. I don't owe you any money. I'm not even coming to court. Who are you to say, send me a husband to come to Beis Din? So the Gemara says, you're right. It's a good response. The only way for me to send somebody to represent me, I have to do what's called a harshah. There's an official, formal agreement that, I guess we would call it as something like the power of attorney. I have to appoint somebody to be my mursha, to be my my representative, to stand in my place. The only way for me to do that is that I have to actually make like almost like a token sale. I have to sell to this representative of mine the rights of that money that's sitting in Pliny's town 100 miles from here. I have to go through a kinyan on that item. So otherwise, la baldover diya. So I basically make the Mursha into a baldover. I turn him into like a part, he's like a partner in the business. So I have to make a formal kinyan to be machmeh him that money that's sitting 100 miles from here. How do I do that? How in the world would I make such a kinyan? So the Gemara says that one of the ways of making that kinyan is through a kinyan agav. I go to the Mursha, to the person who he's about to go on this trip. He's about to go represent me in 100 miles from here. So I say to him, listen, I'm going to sell you a very, very small portion of my backyard. And whenever I sell you karka, I can sell you metaltalin agav that karka. I can sell you a piece of land in China and sell you metaltalin in Nebraska without making a kinyan on the metaltalin. That's a sugi, that's a mishnah, that's a kedusha to call the kinyan agav. So that's the easiest way to do it. I said, I don't want to give you my whole backyard. I give you sort of an inch of my backyard. All the way back in the corner of my backyard. I'll sell you a half an inch by half an inch. And I got that half an inch of karka. I'm going to be marketing you the $10,000 in cash that's sitting in the next town. You should become a shtichel baldover in that. And you should have the right to represent me in court. So the Gemara says that works. The Gemara says that's fine. So it's a bit of town. That's great and wonderful. In the olden days when people owned land, in the Middle Ages, the Jews didn't own any land. So says Rabbi Natan, and they're still doing it. They're still playing this game. They're still making a kinyan naga. How do they do that? So Rabbi Natan says, you know how they do it? Let's go back to the Tosfos. Rabbi Natan's over Rabbi Natan. Shekosu b'arshos v'knesi l'avarvus karka b'chatzeri. Afi she'ena ashani yodin she'en lo karka. Why? Came with the mode she'esh lo. But he says he has karka. But that's what they created them. Whatever he says goes. And since he says that he owns karka, so afi din, it's as if their Aiden will say that he owns karka. If he owns karka, he can be mached the metalfa out of that karka, and then the merchant can go ahead and represent him. Says a bit of time, this is the same stunt that we're pulling off. So the same way that the Yesh Befarshim was saying, the chosid under the chuppah is making a statement that we know in our heart and soul is not true. It doesn't matter. Where did this idea come from in the Gemara? I mean, we quoted a pasuk for it, but it's such a strange concept. And so people here were not happy. People were having a lot of trouble grasping this. Where in the world does this come from? Where's the source of the Gemara for such a bizarre concept? I make a dos baldin. Everybody knows it's a sham, and it's still binding in halacha. Well, we may use it for mechiras chametz, a little bit according to some, but the real source comes from the Gemara at the very end of Bavasra, and daf kuf mem tes. So again, at the rate that we're going, we're at daf gimel, kuf mem tes. I put it in 30 to 40 years or so, assuming that we learn Bavasra straight. So comes the Gemara, the ninth of the Ramah Kamas, with a very, very strange story. It's strange on many, many different fronts. It starts off with an interesting set of characters. The Issa Giyura, Havali Treisa Alfi Zuzibei Rava. So there was a man by the name of Issa Giyura. Apparently Issa was his name, Giyura, he was a ger. He was a ger, okay. He happened to be a very wealthy ger as well. He had a Treisa Alfi Zuzi, he had 12,000 Zuzim. So just to give you a little bit of a reference to what we're talking about, 200 zuz is the amount of money in the Ikar Ksuba, which is approximately the amount of money you need to survive for a year. That's what the number is corresponds to. So you're talking about 12,000. It's a nice amount to get. It can keep you going for 60 years. It can keep you going for quite some time. So Issa Giyura had left this money in Rava's, the safe in the yeshiva. His Rava was watching this money for Issa Giyura. Issa Giyura got very sick. He had a son, Rav Mari Beray. His son was Rav Mari, and presumably he was going to die, so Rav Mari is going to get all the money. The only problem was that he was his son biologically, but he actually was not his son halachically. Rav Mari Beray, that Rav Mari, the biological son, he had been conceived by Kedusha, that means his parents, his mother it's not clear whether she was a Giyur or she was a Bas Yisrael, a little bit unclear who exactly she was. But the bottom line was, is that by the time he was born, so he was born B'Kedusha, everyone was already Jewish, but his conception was not B'Kedusha. Therefore, for technical halachic reasons, he wasn't really related to Issa Giyura. So even though he had the same genes as Issa Giyura, halachically he wasn't the son. Therefore, when Issa Giyura was about to die, the money actually would not go B'Yerusha to his son, who wasn't halachically his son. The money would be Hefker, because it would be what's called the Ger Shemes Ve'en Lo Yorshim. That was a lot of money. So Rav Mari happened to be a Talmud in the yeshiva of Rava. So now you can already see the drama beginning to unfold, the high stakes cash going on here. Rav Mari's biological father is about to die. You got this 12,000 zuzim that are sitting in the yeshiva's safe deposit box that are about to become hefker. When money's about to become hefker, sitting in the yeshiva safe box, that can make a lot of money for the yeshiva. That's an executive director's dream of falling into 12,000 zuzim that are about to become his. So we have to wait for the drama to unfold. Where's this money going? Is this money going to the yeshiva? Is this money going to Rav Mari? Is this money going to hefker? So we got a lot of parts of the story. So a few different moving pieces, piece of this puzzle before we figure out what happens to this money. But part of it is going to have to do with our sugya of Adolf Badiki made it. Hopefully, it's going to try to continue this drama.